2018, we got it. We made it. It's here. 2017's behind us. If it was a great year, we're going to build on it. If it wasn't so good for you, don't look back. This year's going to be better. Amen. Well, tonight I want to talk to you just for a few minutes about confidence to win in any situation. You can have confidence in God. Turn with me in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 5. It's important that we know that we can have confidence in Him in any situation. There's no situation that's ever been presented to Him that He had to scratch His head and say, well, you know, I never thought of that one. I never had an answer figured out for that. You've stumped me, you know, give me some time and come back to me later. No, that's never happened, nor will it ever. In 1 John chapter 5, starting in verse 14, it's recorded, now this is the confidence that we have in Him. Say, in Him. It's not confidence in ourselves. It's not confidence in your pastor. It's not confidence in your spouse. It's confidence in God. That if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. That's pretty powerful. That we can always go before the Father. That's why I'm convinced He says in Hebrews to come boldly. To find mercy and to find grace in your time of need. Grace is the answer to everything we need. Grace, I heard somebody say this, and I kind of like the definition of grace. It's God acting toward us as though sin never existed. Kind of like Adam. How He was towards Adam before Adam transgressed. Everything was perfect. It was heaven on earth. Well, we can have, Jesus has come, and if you're in Christ, then we have this confidence right here that if we ask anything according to His will. So that would be according to His word, because His word and His will are inseparable. They're one and the same. You and your word are one. You're only as good as your word. And so, if we ask according to His word, so whatever situation you're facing, you want to find His word on it. What does His word already say about it? Because God's already got the answers for us, and they're in His word. That's why we're so big on the word here. In Proverbs chapter 4, He says, my son, give attention to my words. Incline thine ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes, and keep them in the midst of your heart. Four instructions, all regarding the word, keeping it in focus. He says, why? Because it's life to those that find them. Well, what is it to those that don't find them? See, there's always a reciprocal in God's word. It's conditional upon you doing something with it. And so we can have confidence if we ask according to His will. What if we don't ask according to His will? There's no confidence there. You're just a wishing and a praying, a hoping and a praying, and hoping it works out. But if you don't know His will on it, you see, faith, which is the way we respond to the grace of God, God has provided everything by grace. Our faith is our response to that. And our faith can't go beyond a question mark. If you don't know the will of God, then you can't release faith. So that ought to just save you from hours and hours of praying, that if you don't know the will, find the will first. Then you can just have a one-minute prayer and have it get answered instead of wearing out the carpet or your knees and your voice and go hoarse because you've just been pleading to God. We don't have to plead to God. God's already done the work. And so we can have this confidence if we ask according to His will or according to His word. Now, God cannot deny His word. Turn over to the Gospel of Mark with me. God's real big on his word. I'll say that again. God is real big on his word. If he said so, then it's so, regardless of what we think. And in Mark 16, right after the Jesus had he'd been raised up out of hell and he appeared, here it says in verse 14, he appeared to the 11, but he appeared to over 500 people. But in this part here, he appeared to the 11. And verse 15, he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. That's the good news to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, and he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who go to the Baptist church or the Catholic church or the Presbyterian church. No, these signs will follow those who believe. You can go to any one of those churches and be a believer, and these signs will follow. In my name, they will cast out demons. So, see, God's not in the casting of the demons out of business. Did I say that? He's not in the casting demons out business. We are. He says that those that believe in my name, see, we sang about the name of Jesus, says they'll speak with new tongues. They'll take up serpents. If they drink anything deadly, it'll by no means hurt them. They'll even lay hands on the sick, and occasionally you'll see them recover. No, they will recover. That's confidence because that's the word of God. Now, I haven't got to the point where I wanted to get here in Mark. So after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven, and he sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere. So they were obedient. God is real big on obedience. So they went out and preached everywhere, and look what happened. It says the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Now, signs are supernatural miracles in the senses realm that prove Jesus is Lord. And I'm convinced more than ever before that we need to be demonstrating the power of God, not just talking about Jesus. Jesus loves me, this I know, because the Bible tells me so. But we can't stop at Jesus loving me. God's given us a commission to carry out on this earth because Jesus went back to heaven. And so he's given us the commission, the great commission. But look, it says in verse 20, he worked with them. He works with you and me, and he confirms his word. So we can have the confidence when we go and get scriptures, get his word on our situation. It might be a health situation. Find some scriptures that deal with Jesus has, by the stripes he bore, healed you. He sent his word, and he healed them, Psalm 107:20. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives our iniquities and also heals occasionally a few of our diseases. No, it says all of them. That's confidence. You see, we always go to God in confidence. He said, come boldly. So we can come boldly. We don't have to come with our, you know, so to speak, tail behind our backs, you know, between our legs. And, you know, God, would you, if I'm not bothering you today? No, you're not bothering him. He delights in us going to him. And so we see right here that God's word, he will back up. He will confirm it. In Isaiah 55:11, just let's put our eyes on that one. We, most of us can quote it, but, you know, there's not a lot of scripture here. It says, just quote the word and you're okay. He says, keep it before your eyes, doesn't he? He says, keep it before, you know, here in your ears. So I read it out loud to myself, you know, when I'm studying. 55:11. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. This is God speaking. It shall not return to him void. In other words, it's going to accomplish something. It will accomplish what I please, it will prosper in the thing for which I sent it. So when you send God's word, it accomplishes the same thing the word says it will accomplish. The Amplified says, so shall be my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void without producing any effect. You can be confident that God's word will have an effect. It's not useless, but it accomplishes that which I please and purpose. See, God has a purpose for his word. He has a purpose for putting the scriptures, for writing them in there. Why? Because Jesus has already paid the price for our healing. He's already paid the price for our prosperity. Says that Jesus became poor that we might become rich. God wants you to have substance. Why? So that you can establish his covenant in the earth. That takes money. And that you can be a blessing to somebody else. He empowered Adam with the blessing. And it says that that was to take the vast resources of this planet and serve God and serve man. See, we need to be serving God, but we need to be serving one another with the vast resources that God's put in the earth. Come on. You need to get excited about that, because that it's just stirring in me, because it's his word. It doesn't return void. It's his word. So another scripture that talks about, just go over to Jeremiah, next book over, Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 12. Then the Lord said to me, you've seen well, for I'm ready to perform my word. Amplified says, I'm alert and active, watching over my word to perform it. So when you go before the Lord in prayer, we started in 1 John chapter 5, when we know we've got the confidence when we ask according to his will, not according to what we feel. Our feelings have nothing to do with receiving anything from God. Your emotions have nothing to do with receiving from God. It's purely by faith in our heart. Just releasing our faith and our response to receiving what God's done for us. That's why a child can get it. Sometimes adults make it too hard and think they got to do a bunch of things. We're not still having to do a bunch of things under the law. No, it's by grace that we're saved through faith. He did the grace part, we do the faith part. And now we're in Christ, and now we have these promises, precious promises, that he's given to us, such as we can have confidence going before him, knowing that we'll have the petitions that we ask of him. That's pretty powerful. God's word, he's watching over it. In here's one we don't look at that often, 2 Samuel. Just kind of sprung up in me earlier today. 2 Samuel 22, it's on page 548 in my Bible, and verse 31. It's right after 1 Samuel, if that helps anybody. Verse 31, as for God, his way is perfect. So we don't have to deviate off God's way at all, do we? As for God, his way is perfect. Look at this. The word of the Lord is proven. It's already proven. We don't have to prove it out. It's a done deal. It's a done deal. And quite often I'll say that when I pray for somebody, you know, for their healing or if I'm coming into agreement with them. It's like, it's a done deal. It's like God's already signed it in his word. It's already been proven. And then the last of that scripture says, he's a shield to all who trust in him. He's a shield to those who trust in him. Okay, 3 John 2. Maybe you're 3 John 2. Did I say 13? Oh, I thought 3 John 2. I was just saying it fast. It was in tongues. You got to interpret. You should know where I'm going. It's right on the wall there. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. So he's telling us it's his will that we prosper. So can we have confidence when we pray according to his will to prosper? Yes. And be in good health. Is it his will? that we live in good health? Absolutely. Jesus, by the stripes he bore. And I shared on Sunday, I'd never really heard this before, but I heard somebody say it, that Jesus paid for our healing before he paid for our sins. Didn't he? He went to the whipping post first. It was by those stripes that I'd never heard anybody say that before that way. But I thought, that's right. That was pretty important to him. As if going to the cross wasn't bad enough, he had to stop at the place to be flogged and tore apart. But he did that for you, and he did that for me. He says, just as your soul prospers. So that's important. That's kind of part of the condition of this scripture here. Our soul is our mind and our will and our emotions. As our soulish realm understands God's word, you see, it's going to be the degree that you understand it that you're going to operate in it. Jesus said over in Mark 4 and Luke 8 and Matthew 13, when he was talking about the explaining the parable of the sowing of the seed, and he said, I think it's in Luke 8, he said that, or maybe it's Matthew 13, but well, let's just turn there. Because he said something that's very important. It's only in one of them, and it's not recorded in the other two. That's why it's good to take more of God's word to 13, Matthew 13. Here it is, in verse 19. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches it away. So 3 John 2 says, as your soul prospers, as you prosper in the area of healing, you're going to begin to receive healing. You're going to be able to be bold now and talk to other people about healing. You're going to lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. That's what happened to me. It was progressive. And I saw that the word of God worked. Well, you can do that for finances. As your soul prospers, according to God's word, find scriptures that apply. Jesus said, give and it'll be given unto you. See, his system works different than the world. The world doesn't say give and it'll be given to you. They say, you know, hoard it up and save it. Save it for a rainy day. Well, I don't participate in rainy days. If I did, I'd just start an umbrella company or something and prosper. But anyway, here we see that we have to have an understanding, or we have to have our spirit man. See, God's already deposited everything in our spirit. And really, when our soul is coming to understand it, we're drawing it out of our spirit man, because 2 Peter chapter 1 says that he's given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. Everything. Everything's been deposited inside us, and I believe it's in seed form. And as we water that seed, as we meditate, as we talked about Proverbs chapter 4, put it before our eyes, listen to it, keep it in the midst of our heart, it's going to begin to grow. The power of the Word of God gets activated when we believe it and when we act on it. That's when the power is activated in the Word of God, is when we believe it. And then we do something about what we believe. Believing is not enough. You can't just believe and get saved. You can't just believe and get healed. Believing is like one side of a two-sided coin. You have to have faith to go with it. And faith and belief are not the same thing. Believing, let me just give you a quick illustration. How many believe that, you know, we have to eat in order to stay alive? We go more than 40 days, 50 days, 60 days. We don't eat. We're out of here, right? You can believe that. You can be in the last stages of starvation and sit before a whole table of food and believe that if you eat it, it'll keep you from dying. But if you don't ever eat that food, you're not going to make it. The eating of the food is releasing our faith. That's acting on what we believe. Can you see that? You have to act on what you believe. So you have to do something. You have to say something. He told us in how we get born again. If we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth. So there's something about speaking the word of God that brings it into action, brings it or activates it to make it work for us. All right, so God's word is his will. We see that. So we can have the confidence when we go before God and find his word on the matter, on the situation. Okay? Turn with me to Acts chapter 3 for a minute. There's a story there. This is after Peter got filled with the Spirit, and he was bold as anything. And he and John were going up to the temple, and there was this guy begging alms, and remember that? And Peter says, silver and gold do I have? I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Took him by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Says all the people saw this guy walking in the temple and praising God. Well, of course, Peter and John get hauled in and they're not happy about this for some reason or another. And we see in verse 16 of Acts 3 that it's his name, through faith in his name, that has made this man strong. And so it's the name of Jesus, but it's your faith in the name. See, every born-again believer has the name available to them, but it's only to the believers that are going to activate it, to do something with it. Because I came out of a church that didn't believe on, you know, they believed in healing. That's what they said they believed, but there was never any evidence of it. They pray for people saying, I believe that they'll be healed, and the people died. And there's just a lot of confusion as a kid growing up. I was so concerned about it, I didn't want anybody to pray for me. If, you know, I didn't tell anybody if I didn't feel good. Because I didn't want them to pray for me because I thought I was going to die. Because that was the pattern I saw. So what we do, really, people watch. At least I did as a little kid. All right, so over in chapter 4, verse 13. They get hauled in to the Sanhedrin, and Peter's pretty bold. He says that, you know, it's the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth who you crucified. He just put it back in their face. Said, yeah, he's the one that healed this man, and you crucified him. And verse 12, there's salvation in no other name, for there's no other name under heaven among men by which we must be saved. Verse 13, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John. You see, Peter and John, they had boldness about them because they had confidence in that name. And you and I can have that same confidence today that Peter had, that John had. These people that weren't believers noticed they had this confidence. So confidence can be seen. Boldness can be seen. Sometimes, you know, when people first get born again, they got more zeal and more boldness than people who've been Christians for 30 years. And they're just ready to take on the whole world. But they don't have the word built up in them. And so, you know, they can get into trouble because they can, do things kind of on their own and not really having faith to release to do things God's way. That's why we have to renew our minds to now the new way of living. And it's totally different. So we know, First John, let's go back to First John. There's a couple more things that we need to see here that the Lord has put in here. Verse 14, now this is the confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And we know that if he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have. If you're taking notes, write that down. We know that we have. That's a confidence. We know that we have. It's not that we might. It's that we know. So we know that we have. That's confidence. That's faith being released when you know. And we're going to look at Jesus taught about faith here over in Mark in just a minute. But just wanted to take a detour to Hebrews 4 for 1 second here. Hebrews 4, verse 16. I quoted it early, but let's just put our eyeballs on it. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to find help in time of need. Come boldly. Amplified says it this way, then let us fearlessly and confidently and boldly draw near to the throne of grace. That's powerful. We can have that boldness coming before him. So Mark 11, we see that we know that we have. That's confidence. That's faith. And Jesus talks about it in Mark 11. He had just got done the day before. He spoke to a fig tree, and that thing obeyed him. Verse 22, Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. So here's our faith again at work. And here Jesus is going to teach us. For truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart. So here we have some saying and some believing. But believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, this is the prayer of faith, verse 24. Therefore, I say to you, this is Jesus speaking, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them. When do we believe that we receive them? When we pray, not when we receive them. There'd be no faith involved in waiting until it showed up. There's no faith necessary. You'd have it. You'd know it. But believing it is seeing it in the eyes of faith, seeing it in here, seeing it as though you already possess it. You already have it. That's what Jesus is saying here. Believe that you receive them, and then you will have them. You don't and then have them until after you believed you received it. We want to, you know, in the natural, we want to, if I could only see it, I'd believe it. You don't have to release any faith when you can see something. So big difference here. But just like in his 1 John chapter 5, that we can have the confidence that we know we have them. You see, when you have that confidence, when you pray in 1 John chapter 5, you have to do the same thing as in Mark 11. You have to believe you receive it, then you'll see it. Then you'll get the result. Then you'll get the answer. Then it will materialize after you have believed that you received. Winding down here, if you're taking notes, write this down. This is a little nugget. We should always consider the answers as sure as if we already had them. We should already consider the answer to the prayer, the answer to what you're asking him, believe, receive that you have it, then it will manifest itself. Believe it's just as sure as we already have it. So how can we be sure if we're asking in faith? How can we be sure that we're asking in faith? Number one, get scriptures. Get scriptures. If you're praying God's word, then you're praying in according to his will, and you can do that, release faith, and you'll have that. That's one thing. We can get scriptures on it. Let's just take healing, for instance. Isaiah 53, 4 and 5. Matthew 8 and 17. And 1 Peter 2, 24. I know I'm going kind of fast, but you guys are the Wednesday night group. And those three scriptures go together for healing. The Holy Spirit confirms all of those that work together, saying that it's already been done. So, number two, let's go over to Philippians 4. How do we know for sure that we're in faith? Well, get scriptures on it. That's the beginning. Get scriptures on it. Okay, number two, Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Now, when we're going through trials, when we're going through things, and when we're in need of things, we don't, in the natural, want to rejoice. We want to have a pity party, and we want to pout about it, and we want to complain about it, and tell everybody how bad things are. But if we would rejoice first, I think you'd see your answers come much quicker. Because if you're having the complaining, then you're not in faith. Because you don't really believe you have the answer if you're complaining. You don't really believe you're healed if you're saying, well, I still feel sick. Okay, which is it going to be? Do you believe you're healed, then you'll see it, or do I still feel, you see, feeling I still feel sick is going by my feelings. And when we're going by our feelings, we're not going by faith. And so the two don't work together. You don't mix your faith with feelings, ever. All right, so rejoice in the Lord. That's number two. You could do that. Verse 6 of Philippians 4, be anxious for nothing. Anxious, anxiety, stress. This problem's real bad. It's badder than bad this time. It's way worse. You know, you've heard all those things. We've all, at some point in time, probably said them. But if we're going to rejoice, if we're going to be confident, and we're going to be anxious for no thing, look at the Amplified. Do not fret or have any anxiety about some things. Thank you, Ricky. About anything. So it doesn't matter what the situation is. Don't have anxiety. Will anxiety try to come? Absolutely. Guess who's behind that? Mr. Devil himself. He likes to bring that along, and he wants you to get hooked into the anxiety. But God says, don't be anxious for anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication. Supplication is definite requests. And I encourage you, if you're asking for something, know what you're asking for. Be definite about it. Otherwise, how would you know if you got it? Oh, God, just bless me. How would you know if the blessing showed up if you don't know what you're asking for? You know, just work this out. Well, it could be worked out in a million ways, probably. How do you see yourself? You want to see yourself as God sees you. So begin to pray along the lines of the way God sees you. With thanksgiving. So thanksgiving would be something else. Thank God for your answers before you see it show up. We talked about that at Thanksgiving service. We just talked about thanksgiving in every situation you could ever come across. Go back this whole last year and begin to thank him. I was praying with Barbara and Steve Arbo the other day, and they have a blessing jar. I said, what's that? And they said, when we have a blessing manifest, we write it down and put it in the jar. At the end of the year, we pull them all out and read them. That encourages you. That shows you God was really working in your life this last year when you couldn't think of half of them or 90% of them. And so the two of them took communion, and then they opened up and went rehearsed. As we sat there, they were telling us of some of the ones that they, you know, way back last April that God pulled through for them when they needed him to pull through. Well, by December, you're busy with the holidays. You forgot all about that. But they pulled it out, and they began thanking him and praising him. Well, they're heading into 2018, like, moving. Thanking God and knowing, but man, he pulled through here. He's going to pull through this one. And so, with thanksgiving, God loves it when we thank him. And it says, verse 6 there, let your requests be made known to God. And look at verse 7. Here's another way you can know that you're praying correctly. It says the peace of God is going to show up. The peace of God. You see, if you're not praying in faith and you're still in anxiety, the anxiety would show you that you're not really in faith. But when the peace shows up, I think it even goes on to say, the peace of God which surpasses all understanding. So it doesn't make sense in our noggin. It doesn't make any sense. It says it'll guard your hearts and in your minds through Christ Jesus. Isn't that cool? That now the peace of God shows up and you know you got that answer. You believed you had it before you see it, but the peace of God will show up. Now you're going to sleep like a baby that sleeps at night. I always have to say that because I know some people that says, my baby just stayed up all night long. So, well, I just believe that it's a baby that sleeps all night. But anyway, the peace of God will show up. And so we rejoice, we thank him, we don't let the anxiousness come in. And lastly, Matthew 6. I didn't have it written down, but I just felt impressed that Jesus was saying the same thing here. Verse 25 of Matthew 6. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat, what you'll drink, about your body, what you'll put on, all the natural things. And he goes on to say, verse 27, which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? You can't change anything by worrying. You can change your health for the worse, for the detriment. You can cause ulcers and stuff by worrying. And so he goes on to say, why worry about clothing? And he talks about the lilies and they're taken care of. What I want you to see here is verse 31, because this is where it hits the road. Therefore, do not worry, saying. If you've got worry in your mind, that's one thing. But when you're meditating on it and then you speak it, you're taking ownership of that thing and that becomes yours. And it's going, you've given it license. You've given Satan permission to carry out what that situation is. So Jesus said, do not worry, saying. In the King James Version, it says, take no thought, saying. So our thoughts, what are we supposed to do with our thoughts when they're not good ones? According to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, cast them down. And so Jesus says, when those thoughts come, take no thought, saying. Don't say anything. I said I was inventing some duct tape for Christians, you know. We just have a big roll of it. Put it there to keep us from speaking detrimental things over our life. And, you just got that. Do we have it at the bookstore yet? And then he goes on to say, verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of God. And I want to end on that tonight. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, or his way of doing and being right. So whatever it is that we have going on in our life, that we need a touch from God, we need God to, you know, pull through for us, we have to do it confidently and in faith. We have to do it seeking him first, not coming to God last. You know, put it out on Facebook for a month and then, you know, talk to all your social media friends that you don't even know them. You call them your friends, but you don't know them, you know, and then we'll check in with God, you know, 3 months down the road when we're just flat out nothing's worked. No, seek first the kingdom of God. Just think how that must make God feel when we go everywhere else but him first. He says, come to me first and come boldly. Amen. Why don't you stand up and we'll close in prayer. Confidence. Father, we thank you for confidence. We can be confident coming to you. We know that you've already got our answers. You want us to seek you first, your kingdom, your right way of being and your right way of doing things. So, Father, we thank you for these nuggets tonight. I pray that they'd penetrate into the good ground of these people's hearts, that the ears would have been hearing ears, and that the meditation of your word would continue on beyond this night. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you all for coming out. Trust you're highly blessed and favored of God.